time for a new Bible when you set it on the podium and part of the book of Exodus falls out on the floor. This, what's that?
It's making its exodus.
It's making making its exodus. This Bible has been through a lot, and it's hard for me to let go of it. I'm going to have to take it somewhere and have it bound a little better. But that Bible's been my friend. It was on the room table in my hospital room in St. Vincent's, the biggest part of 5 months down there. And I had it with me on the trip, and so it survived the fire. But it did get some, it's got some pretty heavy wear and tear on it. Feel very, very confident this morning about what I have for you, that it's a word from the Lord and that it's for this morning. Something that I have asked my prayer partners to pray about this morning is that I would focus on what I'm to talk to you about. This is a topic that I dearly, dearly love, and I could go a bunch of directions and fall into run over here and say something, and run over here and say something, and run over there. Not that I would ever do that. but it's the story of Moses and the burning bush, and Kevin has been going through the story on Sunday evening, and it's been a great study. And going back and rereading that, God stirred my own heart. And this story of Moses, actually from Exodus 3 to Exodus 33 and 34, amazing story. And it's always intrigued me, the man that Moses became, where he started in Exodus 3 and where he ended as a man of God in Exodus 33, as we see him on the mountain before God, pleading with God, "Let me see you." Pleading with God, "Come on, let me see you. Come on. Let me see you. I want to see you." And we'll read a little later, you know, God said, "You can't look on my face. I'll go by and cover you. Oh, come on." But the man that he became, initially in chapter 3, he's hiding from God. And that brings to mind an important question: where are you this morning in all of that? Exodus chapter 3 tells the story of God appearing to Moses through the burning bush. And I'm going to read actually Exodus 3, 1 through 4, and want to say a few things about that, and you can say a prayer under your breath that I won't get off track, and I'll, because I could easily have three sermons from these passages, I think. This story of the burning bush, it starts Moses on an incredible journey. We'll read in a minute that he actually hid his face from God, but it began a journey that was an incredible journey that culminated in him being the friend of God, a friend to God to the point that when he died, God buried him. That's incredible to me. God buried his friend. And the reason that's moving to me this morning is because as a young man, I had a hunger to know God. And if you were to ask me probably what I appreciate most in life, there's two things that I'm most thankful for. Boy, a lot of times, you know, when a group of people say, "What are you most thankful for?" There's two things that I'm most thankful for. One is the hunger that God put in me as a young man to know God. I'm telling you, when I saw Pastor Bishop, who had buried his little boys in British Honduras as a missionary, he had made the casket himself and buried two of his boys, and then his wife went into a coma, and he had to come home from the mission field, and she laid unresponsive for 6 years, and the nurses said he took a hymnal up and sang to her every day. He told me one time in 6 years she twitched a little and responded. But I saw his love for God, and I saw the tears run down his face, and he talked about the friend God had been through those trials. That put a hunger in a young man named Tom Robbins that has never gone away, and it has gotten deeper and stronger with age, a hunger to know God. And so I've always been intrigued by the story of Moses. And God put a hunger within me to know God, and the second thing I've appreciated is the ability to communicate. I told you there's two, so I'll tell you the other one. I've appreciated the ability to communicate. I've been gifted with a gift of communication. I hear a lot of people say, "I wish I could say what I was feeling." I never feel that way. I'm serious. I can always say what I'm feeling. And people look at me and they say, "Oh, I wish I could just get out and say what I'm feeling." I don't know that I've actually felt that way. Maybe a little bit. But I realized at one point in life, God had given me a gift to be able to say what I was feeling. And I think he did that to communicate his word. So he could give me feelings from him, and then he could help me to put that out there and it be useful. So the hunger for God, two things I've deeply appreciated, the ability to communicate and the hunger for God. But the story from Exodus 3 to Exodus 33 and 34 of and on beyond, but I'm picking that particular segment where we initially see Moses just kind of connecting with God initially here in Exodus 3 that Kevin's been sharing in the last couple of weeks. And then he ends up a friend with God to a level that God buries him when he dies. And that just, I'm just moved by that. Exodus 3, 1 through 4. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. As I get older, I see more and more applications in lines in the Bible. Just tending the flock. Doing what he normally does. There's a time for the spectacular. There's a time for the out of the ordinary. But often God will move in your life when you're just doing what you always do, while being faithful to him. Years ago, working at Kroger's, 17 years, day in, day out, going in, family, little boys at home, a lot going on, financial pressures. Had this desire to be in the ministry, God challenged me, tend the flock I've given you. Do your best at what I've given you to do. Moses was doing what he did. He was a shepherd. He was there on the mountain taking care of sheep for his father-in-law, doing his hired job. You know that when you're faithful and yet try to be a friend of God and you're interested in God and you have a heart toward God, you know that he'll speak to you at common times if you're open to him. Now, if you're grumbling all day, no one here does that, I'm sure. If you're grumbling all day and you're complaining all day and you're mad half the time and you're frustrated half the time, it isn't that God doesn't love you. It isn't that God pulls away. It's that he can't get the wave through to you because you've clouded up the network. And that's why it's so important to stay open, and that's why our feelings toward God and each other need to stay clear so we don't clog up the works, because God wants to talk to us just on normal days. He wants to talk to us. But we got tension, and we got problems, and we got difficulties, and we got ill feelings, and we clog up the works. God didn't quit loving us. It's that we're not receiving it because we've clogged up the works. That's why we emphasize so much straightening things out, making things right. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Now, bushes were common things. If you visited that area of the world, and we have, out in the area where the pastures would be, it isn't like, in a lot of that area, especially on the mountains, it isn't like the beautiful lush pastures that you see here. There's a lot of scrub bushes, and they would move the sheep around regular to new places because the grass was just in clumps here, kind of a little bit maybe like Wyoming looks, or parts of Texas we've been in, where there's clumps of grass here and there, and they would move the sheep off and cover a lot of territory to have enough ground. And of course, down by the rivers and all would be the rivers and the valleys and some beautiful lush pasture. But a bush was a common thing. I think that he probably walked past a bush every day there in this particular location with sheep. You're walking past, you and I are walking past just normal things in our everyday life. God wants to talk to us. Something unusual happened on this ordinary day with ordinary surroundings. Flames of fire came to the bush, and the bush began to burn. And when Moses saw that the bush was on fire and it did not burn up, he saw that. It seemed kind of strange. And he thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Moses, of course, is to be respected, and these leaders in the Bible were awesome men and women of God. But I think sometimes we put these people on a pedestal. God challenged me very much that on that one occasion. You don't believe you can be that? You believe that was just me favoring that person? You don't believe you can be that? Now, we know sometimes people are selected for specific missions, and Moses was called to lead the children of Israel out. But I'm talking about something deeper than that. Don't put Moses on a great big pedestal. I want to say to you this morning that God desires relationship with you this morning. And I believe that all of us encounter burning bush experiences. It says that Moses went over to see the bush. I'm going to see what this thing is about. Are you walking by any bushes that God's trying to speak to you through? One of the dangers of the American lifestyle and our busy, busy schedules is that we're hurrying by the bushes that God often would want to speak to us out of. And sometimes it's the common thing. Something that we're used to going by. I don't know how many times Moses walked by bushes in this area, but this particular time God did something unusual. And he could have gone on and thought, I don't know what that's about, but I'm in a hurry. I believe God wants to speak to all of us and will speak to all of us in this same manner. Don't categorize it. Don't specialize it. Don't put Moses, even though he was a godly and great man, don't put him up on a pedestal and think that that's unattainable for you to be the friend of God. I never dreamed, and please don't take this wrong, but I got to get this across to you. I never dreamed in my walk with the Lord, I'll have 40 years in July, that I would actually read about characters in the Bible and not be surprised. I never thought I would come to that in my own life. It's only by God's grace. I'm the weakest of weak. You know how weak I was? It'd scare you to death. But I never thought I'd come to a place where I would read about certain things that happened, and to me it wouldn't be that big a deal because I've experienced things of equal magnitude, and I've seen that kind of relationship myself, and I understand that. I challenge you, and maybe it'll put a hunger within you. I saw that in my pastor as a young man. A man that had pursued God. I want to say something to you here this morning that may not be Christians for a minute or two. Many times God's trying to speak to us out of the burning bush, and we're not recognizing it as such. You who maybe don't know the Lord with sensitivity, I say to you, what bushes have you walked by? And you've missed the voice in the bush. A trip to the funeral home can be a burning bush. Something that maybe we don't particularly like. Something we don't want to do. Something we'd rather avoid in life. But there's a voice of God to try to talk to us out of that. Sometimes a crisis in our health can be a burning bush. Sometimes a crisis in our family can be a burning bush. And if we move closer to see, God, are you there? God, is this you? He will speak out of the fire to us and out of the trial. He'll speak right out of that trial to us about our insensitivity or maybe about our distance from family or about our ill feelings with family, about things that need corrected in our life. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord. Are you walking by bushes that God's trying to speak to you? An early bush in my life was when I was 17 and bitter and angry at my father and mad at the world far more than anybody had any idea. And Pam and I were dating. And I left her house at about 2 in the morning, was coming down a county road over by Salamone Reservoir, a back way that was a little closer to home, came back through Wabash. And I came onto that road and had a 396 Chevelle and got into it pretty hard when I came onto the tar road, and which I did a lot, and it went sideways fishtailing like it always did, but I lost it that time. And spun 3 times in the middle of the road, and I hit a cement corner post. I thought the car was on fire for a minute. It backfired through the headers, and I thought the car was on fire, lit up all underneath. I think it may have been for a second. And I got out of the car, and God had called me to ministry as 8 years old, and I was bitter at my dad and couldn't get past that and breaking every rule there was. And I was walking down that road at 2:30 in the morning heading for a farmhouse, thinking of what could have happened that could have real easily been killed in that accident. And God spoke to me from the burning bush and said, young man, this ain't what you're supposed to be doing. Young man, I've got my hand on you. This is not what you're supposed to be doing. I walked by that bush. I listened a little bit that night. It moved me a little bit, but I walked on past that bush and didn't heed what God said. Have you walked past bushes that God was in? Now you, many of you who are Christians, I want to encourage you to watch for God. There's often something unusual in the normal. The normal day, tending his father's sheep, walking past bushes that he always had walked by. There's often something unusual in the normal if you're desirous and attentive to God. Christian, are you watching for his voice? Is your lifestyle conducive to hearing his voice? I took a week off several years ago while pastoring at Skinner Chapel. It was hunting season. It was bow season. I like to hunt, but to be honest with you, that particular week, the purpose wasn't hunting. I took advantage of the fact that it was hunting season. I wanted to get alone somewhere. And I went out to Orville Garber's woods south of Walton. Orville and Helen Garber. Helen's gone on to be with the Lord. Orville I just saw Friday. Had a great visit with him. Had an awesome prayer time with him. He prayed with me. Guy, I'll have to tell you about that. Guy knows Orville really well. He prayed with me in the cafeteria so loud that everybody stopped talking, turned around. It was the most precious thing you ever saw, and he started to cry. But God had, through the Woodhouses and through Orville Garber, could hook me up, so I got to know them, and I was able to hunt there for years, and they actually saved it for me, and I didn't even know that till Helen's funeral. There were family members that were mad because Helen said, no, Pastor Tom prays and hunts in that woods, and everybody else stay out. The one brother-in-law never did talk to me, and I didn't know why, and that was the reason. And he warmed up after the funeral. I actually talked about experiences I had in that woods, and I think he knew that it was something spiritual, but he wasn't before very friendly to me, and I think that was the reason. I didn't know it. But anyway, I went out and took a week to bow hunt in the deer stands out there, but actually I had another reason. God knows your heart. I wanted to go out and spend some time with God. And I've told some of you this, but it bears repeating. I'm talking about Christians when God uses the usual, the unusual in the normal. You know, it might just be a normal day, things that you normally do. And I was climbing two or three different trees throughout the week, and my goal was maybe to spend 40 hours in that woods in prayer and take my bow. And honestly, it was one of those times I didn't really care if I got a deer or not. Actually, to prove that's true, I don't even remember if I did. I don't remember if I had success that week or not. But in climbing, I had hit my eye, bumped my head and my eye, and boy, it just felt really weird, and I had a weird sensation, but I thought, well, I just conked my head good. And boy, that eye kept bothering me, but not enough to put me out of commission. And in a couple days' time, I thought, man, I need to do something about this. There is a scratch. I thought it was just a scratch. You know, you get a scratch on your eyeball, actually, and then, you know, it feels like something's in there, but there isn't anything in there. But because it's scratched, it feels like it. That's what I thought. Well, after a couple days continuing to hunt and go out there, this eye kept bothering me, and so I thought I was going to examine a little bit closer. And when I pulled my eyelid clear down and got a magnifying glass and began looking, I had a thorn in my eye. And I realized that what had hit that day and that strange sensation I had in my eyeball, I had the strangest sensation in my eyeball, is that a thorn had actually poked into my eyeball and had broken off. Somebody will, just to save you the trouble, don't tell me afterwards not to hunt in thorn trees. You should already know that. Anyway, I pulled out that thorn, and I couldn't believe the size of that thorn. In fact, I preached one Sunday on it and laid the thorn on the transparency and let you see it on the wall and told people that was in my eye. And people said, no way that was in your eye. But it was. It was in my eye. But I had a sense, something normal, just normal hunting and a normal experience, and anybody could poke a thorn in their eye if they're trying to easily get up a ladder that has thorns around it. can happen. Climb in the dark early in the morning, it's something that can happen. Normal thing. But I had a sense inside, we're talking about the burning bush, I had a sense inside that there was something unusual about this. There was something different. There was a message in it. And when I went hunting that morning after pulling the thorn out, amazed at the size of that thorn, I said, "Lord, what are you saying to me? I sense there's something in here." And as clear as anything, God said, "That thorn was in your eye because there's a thorn in your heart. And you've got some ill against people." And I was going through a time in my ministry where I was really frustrated with the fact that I was trying to put truth out to the best of my ability, and I was putting everything I had into it, and I felt like people were unresponsive. And I had become very, very frustrated. In fact, I had even attempted to start a youth ministry. This was not the rally team. I had attempted to start a youth ministry which wasn't getting off the ground, and God showed me in that tree that day that the reason he hadn't blessed that new youth venture I had started is because the reason was wrong. I was fed up with the adults, and I had decided I ain't doing this anymore. Fooey on y'all, work with the youth. That ain't the right attitude. That isn't the heart of a good shepherd. It's not wrong to get frustrated. It's not wrong to at times wish that maybe people would be more receptive. That's not wrong, but it was wrong to let that become infected. And there was a thorn in my eye, and I believe God used that thorn in my eye on a normal situation, under normal circumstances, doing what I normally do, to talk to me about a thorn in the heart. And I preached a message and confessed to the congregation that I had become angry at them, and I was back on track. And I was to take that week to realize that. You don't have to do it just like that, but I want to say to you, take the time you need to hear the voice in the bush. I believe we walk past burning bushes all the time. I believe there's things that God wants to use in the normal. When God doesn't seem to answer your prayer, listen, Christian, when God doesn't seem to answer your prayer, instead of getting mad, instead of getting frustrated, look for the voice in it. I feel this issue with Pam's back is a burning bush. She and I have talked about it. We've had incredible healings in our family. Pam's experienced it. Alan's been healed twice, incredibly. Scotty was healed of hepatitis. I was healed of leukemia. Every time I hug Dr. Schultz, he says, "You still don't know the condition you're in." He will not take credit. When I tell him thank you, he says, "Uh-uh." He's adamant. He points up in front of the whole nurse's station, sixth floor St. Vincent's, everybody listening. He said, "Nope, we had divine intervention." But I believe that this present situation with Pam's back, we were talking this week, I believe it's a burning bush. I believe there's something in it. We've prayed, and we've prayed diligently for her back. Many of you have too. So we leave that in God's hands, and we went with how it was going, with how it flowed, with how the Holy Spirit worked, and things began to fall right into place. She was able to, we were so pleased with Dr. Leipzig, the doctor that did her surgery several years ago. Met with him, and I felt we had the Holy Spirit with us present in that room. And in fact, I'm taking him a copy of my book. He was interested in my leukemia. I'm taking a copy of my book next Friday when we have, he knows Dr. Schultz. And I'm taking him a copy of the book next Friday when we have surgery. I don't know for sure what the message is, but I know we've launched a new season. Sometimes things are attacks of the enemy. We just need to overcome, persevere, go through. Other times, there's in the normal run of things in life, you're tending the sheep and you walk by bushes all the time, but God does something unusual in the normal. Are you desirous and attentive? Are you hungry? You see, if you're just hungry for material pleasures, and that's your hunger, so that's what you're attentive to. If you're just hungry for the next dollar you can make and all of those kind of things, you're going to miss the voice in the bush. I have written here, I'll tell you a secret. We want to see the spectacular. Later, Moses was at Mount Sinai. Boy, you talk about fireworks. My goodness, that had been awesome to see. But we often seek the spectacular, the smoke and the fire, and Mount Sinai and the giving of the law and all that took place. Couldn't touch the mountain. It was an incredible experience, which Moses saw later. But I have written here, I wonder if we must see him in the bush first. I wonder before he shows us his glory if we don't have to see him in the normal things. Back to Exodus 3. Verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from the bush. It's interesting. God didn't say, "Hey, Moses, over here, you're missing this." It says when Moses went over to look, Moses had to show the interest. You with me? They the hunger and thirst after righteousness, what? Be filled. It's the step that he calls us to take. What are you hungry for? What are you attentive to? What are you desirous of? God's a gentleman. He's not pushy. You can spend your whole life desiring other things and pursuing those things, and he'll wait, and from time to time he'll knock at the door. From time to time he'll bring another bush, but you can keep walking past those. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, I want to be the guy that goes over to look. I often said to our covering group, we had a number of years ago, still have it, just under another name. I said, you know why Mary got to see everything she got to see? Because she came early and stayed late. She was the first one in the tomb in the morning. She's like, it seems like we've lost the Lord. There's got to be something more than this. I got to get there. She came early and stayed late. She's the first one there, and if you go and compare the Gospels, she stayed late, and there was a man walking around she thought was the gardener. And she began asking him questions, only to find that it was Jesus. Who sees the Lord? The person that goes early and stays late. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." I want to say to you this morning, God is no respecter of persons. God chooses people for different things in his kingdom. We get this mixed up. Listen, in relationship, he's no respecter of persons. In relationship, don't think for 1 minute that you can't be the friend to God that Moses was. Now, God chooses people. We get that crossed up. God chooses people and empowers them for certain things, and may call another person in another area and empower them in another way. Our giftedness isn't all the same. But we're called to an intimate relationship of friendship with God. And that's attainable for each one of us. What do you desire? I say to you that I probably won't shut up about this as we move into the future. Because as America more and more goes astray, it's going to be those who seek me and find me. They'll seek me and find me when they search for me, what? With their whole heart. It's going to be the people that have the hunger and desire that are going to hear God out of the bush. And he called him by name, Moses. Moses. God will be incredibly personal with you if you'll be attentive and desirous of him. If you'll come early and stay late. Lord, I want to be here when you say something. He'll call your name. And Moses said, "Here I am." And God said, "You're not coming any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground." Wow. Oh boy. Now I got a decision to make. Oh boy. Take off your sandals. For the place you're standing is holy ground. When God calls your name, it becomes a very holy moment. It can be in the middle of the night. Keep in mind, it's because you're attentive to him. But when God calls your name, it becomes a very holy moment. I recall in the cancer experience, when I knew that God was calling my name, the common becomes very holy. Take off your shoes, for it's holy ground. That's where he'd been standing. That's where he was standing all along. But when God sanctifies the moment, when God meets you, you can go in the back room of your workplace. I used to go at the cooler at Kroger's and close the door. If you came there and hunted for me, I wasn't there. You should have checked there. I'd go back to the cooler and close the door because I just blocked out all the noise. It was an insulated room. And you can have a very holy moment with God. And there are those holy moments, but then there's those holy encounters where God is sharing with you as he did with Moses and calling him. And it's interesting here that he said, take off your sandals, for the place you're standing is holy ground. I think there's a lot in this, take off your shoes. What's that about? I don't know who this is for this morning, but I believe this is for somebody. I believe the most powerful message, and there's lots of them, but I think the most powerful message in take off your shoes, this is holy ground, is that when you take off your shoes, your flesh is going to connect with the holiness. Nothing insulating his foot against God's holy ground. God wants to connect with us in our bodies. God wants us to become Christ-like in this body. Well, I'm just going to be a fleshly, sinful, worthless. When I get to heaven, I'll be perfect. Don't hide behind that. Now, don't misunderstand that. That can be a dangerous line, so listen carefully. There is a sense in which we'll have our earthly body as long as we're here on earth. There's a sense in which we'll have our earthly body. We're subject to mistake, absolutely. If you don't think so, come live with us. We're subject to mistake. There's 6,000 years of sin in this arm. But there is a sense in which God wants our flesh to connect with his holiness. Does that make sense? He wants to this temple, for us to keep this temple righteous and seek to live in obedience to him. He wants to connect with our flesh. Take the ground became holy. Seems like you'd want to get up off of it. My goodness, if God's here and this ground become holy, man, I better get up on something. Now I'm going to burn my feet on this. This is God. He said this is holy ground. He said, no, you connect with it. And I want to say to you this morning, if you don't know the Lord and you're thinking, I don't know about this, listen to me. This is the real deal. This works. I preach on this with passion because it works. I think some of you that aren't Christians this morning, God's been talking to you through bushes for a long time. You just keep walking by them. God's calling out to you from that accident or that issue or that thing that happened in your life or that divorce you went through. But if you'll be attentive and if you'll say, Lord, I do want to hear you, you won't be by that bush very long. He'll call your name. Tom, yes. Yes. And when he calls your name, it's at that moment that he wants you to connect with him, and that's where salvation begins. There's so many applications in this story, but I'm going this way this morning for some reason. Oh, I got to get out of here. You know what I've lived like? You know what my life's been like? I need to get completely out of here. I can't connect with God. The church will fall down if I come in. You know how I've lived. You know the things that have happened in my life? He says, take off your shoes. Because God's about cleansing and forgiving and about starting over. Let me repeat that. We've been walking by bushes way too many times. Because we're hungering after other things. We need to be here, we need to be there, we need to chase dollars, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to chase pleasure, self-gratification, we got all this stuff, we need to chase a new relationship. But when we turn to see, God, I know this is just my normal life and I'm working here, but I do want to hear you. What that pastor's talking about, I want you to speak to me. When we begin to become attentive, we'll enter a time where God will begin calling our name. No one can come to Christ without the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And God will begin calling our name, and he'll call to us. And sometimes it's out of a burning bush. Sometimes it's out of a difficulty in our lives or a trial or a tragedy in our life. But regardless of that, how he calls our name, when he calls our name, the next step is, he says, take off your shoes. Don't run from that. Come to Christ for repentance and connect with the holiness of God. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us to fear him and hide our face. Let me continue here a minute. Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Listen, at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Oh, mercy. He hid his face. And that's our tendency. Oh, me? Kevin's been addressing in the Sunday night, and I want to tie into that as well, the unworthiness. We're not going to read this whole chapter, but in the next several verses, we have Moses arguing with God. God calls him and says, I want to send you to Pharaoh. I can't do that. You need to get somebody else as you read the story. Finally, he negotiates and works it out to have his brother Aaron. I can't talk plain. There's a point I want to make to you here today, folks. You got to get this. This is both for Christians and non-Christians. We got to get past the unworthiness. Moses had to come to the place where he embraced God's call and God's calling. Some of us have spent our life going in circles. I had a spell of this in my life. Some of us have spent our life going in circles because we couldn't embrace that because we had connected. It's not about us. Because we had connected with God. Because we had gone ahead and put that fleshly foot, as bad as it is, right on the ground. And we answered the call that now we become worthy through him. The devil will tease you your whole life with your unworthy. You can't do this. You can't do that. I will very cautiously tell you a little secret. And I'll do it cautiously because I don't want to ruin it. Sometimes you tell a special experience, you ruin it. When I was at Praise Mountain in Colorado and took the year off, and God so graciously provided so I could do that for the church in so many ways, God spoke to me very specifically in that week that I was at that cabin. I want to choose my words carefully. That he was taking me to a new level in the kingdom. I had trouble accepting that. And actually was negotiating with God maybe at a that maybe I wasn't ready for that, and maybe a lower level would be more where I would fit, and all my issues and but I felt God was laying that in front of me just silently and saying, this is where I want to take you. Another level in the kingdom. And then when Alan fell, and we had the horrendous thing happen of two accidents on the same day, 16 years apart, where he's lifeline both times, sitting on the bed in Super 8 Motel, five blocks or so from the hospital, God spoke to me very specifically and said, the test has been passed, and I've entered you into a new realm where I want to use you. We can talk about that. I can say that with emotion and gratitude. I don't want to be cautious about saying too much about it. Don't want to spoil it. But unless I buy into that, unless I own it, it'll accomplish nothing. Unless I own it, unless I say, okay, it doesn't seem right. And boy, there's a lot of guys out there, you could use a lot more than me. But if this is what you've assigned me and this is where you've moved me, I receive it. I receive it, and I will do it to the best of my ability. The devil will keep you going in circles your whole life because you won't connect. Take your shoe off and connect and accept the grace. And we argue that, oh, I can't do it. I'm not worthy, Lord. I'm not worthy. And there's a line there. We don't want to ever become prideful. And we pray that God will humble us if we do. I beg God to humble me if I need to. Embarrass me to death if he needs to. To keep me where I need to be. I don't want to ever become prideful over giftedness. The giftedness wasn't mine anyhow. But when God trusts me with a gift, the last thing I ever want to do, when he trusts me with a precious gift, and that's what it is, when he trusts me, every good and precious gift comes from God, James says. When you trust me with the gifts, I never want to become prideful. But I had difficulty at first accepting that. And 3 or 4 months passed, and God kept reminding me the test was passed. The levels that I asked you to go through have been gone through. When are you going to pick this up and take it and claim the territory that I've given you? And I wonder if that isn't typical of all of us, if a lot of us aren't here this morning, that we've heard God out of the bush. Maybe you have taken the first steps and you have connected with God's holiness and you found blessed salvation in your life and you know that you know God. And when they sing Child of God, you say, yeah, buddy, I know what you're talking about. I am a child of God. But then there's another level where God wants to commission you like he did Moses, and we can fuss with him and fuss with him, tell him all the reasons we shouldn't do this and why others are more qualified. And God wants us to put it on and wear it and own it. I need to somehow wind this up. In Exodus 33, this story has an awesome ending. In Exodus 33, we see Moses on the mountain with God. And I alluded to this a while ago. He says something to God that I love, Exodus 33:17. I don't have it here on my notes because I've gotten off my notes. And what I had on the iPad doesn't apply to what I'm talking about now. Exodus 33:17 says, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Several years had passed here. He's on the mountain getting ready to receive the law for the second time. And the Lord says to him, in fact, I'm going to start with verse 12, and this will be winding up here. 33:12, Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people. Have you not let me know whom you will send with me? You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your way so that I may know and to continue to find favor with you. And remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied, listen to the two friends talk, and my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest in that suite. And Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Even though he'd become the friend of God, he recognized his need for God. Did you hear that? If your presence does not go with us, I said that same thing to the Lord a few months ago when we were starting this new ministry. And I don't mean this critically or anything else, but a lot of people look like the wrong thing to do and on and on. I'm a sensitive person and I feel like God just spoke to me very, very clearly and said, you're to do this. And I said, Lord, if you go with me, I'll do it. I can't do it. I don't have to have another guy help me. I don't have to have a family. I don't have to have three families with me on this. And I'm not saying that any other motive other than to get the truth across to you, that sometimes God will call you in something and he'll just say, it's just going to be me with you. Are you going to do it? It's just going to be me. Are you going to do it? Moses said, we can't do this if you don't go with us. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. And Moses said, and this is closing, Moses said, now show me your glory. My goodness, look at the gap of where we started. We see this guy in chapter 3. This is exciting stuff. Here's chapter 33. We see this guy in chapter 3, and God speaks to him out of the bush and out of the fire, and he hit his face, and he's hiding to get somebody else. What happened? The mighty connection with God, putting it on and wearing what God called him to do, embracing what God gave him to do. He says, now show me your glory. He's asking, let me see you. What a contrast. Where are we in our walk? Are we hiding our face? Show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. But the Lord said to him, you cannot see my face. Moses wouldn't see his face. He's addressing that. You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. And the Lord said, there's a place near me. Isn't this something? This is amazing to me that God's negotiating with him. He's the guy that was hiding from God. Do you know you can grow in this thing? Do you know you can get to a new place? Do you know you can get to a new place of confidence? This is the same guy that was hiding his face. And he's negotiating with God and wants to see him. And God says, no, no, you don't realize what you're asking for, pal. He was God's friend. You don't realize what you're asking for, pal. You see my face, you're going to die. But he said, all right, here's what we're going to do. This is the coolest thing in the world. I love this. There's a place near me where you can stand on a rock. Come here. He can't see his face, but he hears his presence. He says, see that spot over there in the cleft of the rock? You go stand over there. I can see Moses like a little boy pitter-pattering over there. This is going to be exciting. You stand there on that rock. I've done that with my kids when they were little. Okay, you know, I want to drive, Dad. I want to drive. No, you'll wreck the car. You can't reach the pedal. I can do it. No, you can't reach the pedal. All right, sit here on my knee. I'll run the pedals. Put your hand on the steering wheel. I'm not so sure that this isn't a lot like that. When my glory passes by, man, this is awesome. This is awesome. You can have this. You can have this. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll cover you with my hand. And after I get past, you can just see me from the back. Is that cool or what? Wow. I'm going to tell you something. We ain't got an idea what heaven's going to be like. These trials are going to seem like nothing. That guy's face shined for next 6 months from seeing the back of God. He came down from the mountain after he was given the Ten Commandments. Here we read in these next few chapters, and they were like this. Isn't it interesting that he was hiding his face from God to start with, and after he got to know God and became the friend of God, and God and him became bosom pals like they were, he come down off the mountain, and then they're hiding their face from him because the glory of God was on his face. And they had to put a veil over his face so he could communicate with them. I don't know about you, but, man, that puts a hunger in me. You know, new cars just don't satisfy that. It's nice if you can have a new car. I used a nice new truck this week to go to Virginia, and boy, that was sweet, just a little sanctuary. But you know, that stuff doesn't satisfy. Beautiful home, and after the fire, my goodness, the home God's given us. I never dreamed I'd have a home at nice. I never dreamed I'd have a home at nice after the fire. God just blessed us through. He used State Farm Insurance. They didn't even know it was him. But it was just unbelievable how God worked. But those things don't satisfy. The pleasures don't satisfy. It's awesome what you can become. I want to say to you today, it started. You say, Pastor, I see what you mean about Moses, and that is cool. And you're giving me a little bit of hope that maybe this is attainable. It started by desiring to hear God out of the bush. Said the bush was on fire. Normal day, working at Kroger's, working at the airbase, working at Square D. Normal day, doing your thing, walking by the stuff you usually walk by. But this time, God decided to speak. And God will choose when he wants to choose. But I want to be attentive and desirous. And Moses turned to see what that was. And when God saw that he was attentive, he said, Moses, Moses. And that started the walk of connecting with his holiness by taking off his shoes, embracing his calling. No longer saying, I can't do it, God, I'll do it. Facing his past, that's a whole other message. I could have gone lots of directions this morning. That's another thing that was included in these steps. He had to face his past. He'd committed a murder in Egypt. And God said, I want you to go back to Egypt. Do you know God will send you right back where you came from sometime? But he sends you back. You've connected with his holiness. You're a new creation in Christ. We need to close. This is a great story. I'd encourage you, if you're dried up in your devotions, and sometimes it's hard to know where to read, and chapter 3 through 33 is great reading. Let's stand together for prayer. I need to close. I made a commitment when we started here that I'd have everybody out at 11:30. I've done that one Sunday. I apologize. I've done that one Sunday. I got to do better. Thank you, Lord, for this awesome story. And most of all, thank you for the igniting it does within us and the hunger that it gives within us. And Lord, what the world's offering us out here, it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't It doesn't quench the thirst in our heart. It's got to be the living water, the bread of life. And Lord, help us to rise above the cheap stuff that's being offered and to recognize that, boy, there's an abundant life. I'm come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly. There's an abundant life available. Speak to us, deal with us. Lord, bring us back next Sunday, Mother's Day next week. And Lord, you know, you've been stirring my heart about how to be a godly woman in this generation and characteristics of a godly woman. And I ask you just bring people back next week and help us to be very faithful to you and to take these truths to heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.